it seems a really, really, really coercive method of trying to get people to sign deals by saying, you know, you won't be able to be engaged in any of the economic development or receive any of the benefits of the theft of your land and resources unless you sign on to these agreements. I was wondering, with the First Minister's meeting and all this promised provincial money, and the whole devolution process, is there going to be the same kind of requirements made of different nations or bands to sign on to things in order to receive these monies? Is there some kind of body that they have to have in order to receive them?
Oh, yeah. Every one of the agreements that I've seen lately from the province of British Columbia or even from the Canadian government, there's clauses in which prohibit Indigenous organizations from engaging and demonstrating and taking political action other than following the agreement, or the agreement would be terminated. You know, there's a lot of the agreements have that, you know. It's more of an exception than the rule if they don't have it. You know, if there's one or two out there that somebody can come back and say, oh, Art Manuel's full of, you know, beans, because there are some that say they don't have that. But the majority of them that I've seen have them in them, you know, like the Range Forest agreements here in British Columbia. I know the BC Treaty agreements where they borrow money to negotiate have those kinds of things. And so that's what they sort of use as ability to control. So, you know, that's where they use poverty, our own poverty, as a weapon, mm-hmm. a real weapon against us. And Canadians should be totally ashamed of that kind of activity. You know, Canada objects to international pressure like that, but yet they'll use that same kind of pressure on Indigenous people domestically. You know, I think that's total hypocrisy on the part of the Canadian government. And they'll use that in court against us, because I know in Squawkwaqwalt, when we're fighting against the expansion of Sun Peaks, the Canadian government and the provincial government in that case used whatever deals they made with Indians mm-hmm. as a basis of trying to tell the judge, these are radical, they're dissident, or, you know, they're anarchists, they don't represent their people, you know, because here we got all these sweetheart deals, you know, and they'll start listing out all the sweetheart deals they got, you know. Gets his 10-year sweetheart deal, they're going to use that against every Indian activist that wants to protect the ecological biodiversity of his territory, whether it be in northern Ontario or the people at Barrier Lake up in north of Montreal there, you know. that are working on that trilateral agreement out there, you know, those people will be punished because of those kinds of 10-year deals. You know, they'll say, well, we're not going to be talking about the land rights. The, you know, your national chief has agreed we're going to talk about trying to fix you Indians up because you've got a housing backlog, because you have inadequate education, because you have poor health, and you have no economic... You guys are the problem. You know, that's what they'll be saying in court, you know?
There was an article in the Globe and Mail yesterday just talking about this conference and the way that they said it. They said that they're at the conference, they're trying not to get bogged down in the esoteric debate that doomed previous attempts at major government action on Native issues. So it's like, once again, it's the fault of Indigenous people that you have these lofty ideals that are radical and way out there and not at all achievable, even though they're based in international law as well as Canadian law. It seems that they've had lots of conferences and roundtables and studies and spent millions of dollars trying to figure out how to move forward. But then when the results come in, they're gathering dust policies. They just sit on the shelf and, like, they totally ignore what's coming of that. So do you see any hope in this announcement that they will be gathering in the spring of 2006 to discuss this issue?
Well, one of the things that's very clear is that, you know, Aboriginal rights and treaty rights have to be the priority. You know, the stuff that they're talking about here in terms of priorities, you know, you should, you know, there are problems at the community level with respect to education, health, and housing, you know. Yeah. But if you're going to develop long-term, if you're going to put the rest, the poverty existing that causes those problems, you need to talk about recognition of Aboriginal and treaty rights. And I think that agenda has to be number one and not number two, the way they're sort of putting it here. And I'd have to see the agenda, because basically the Canadian government has been using a lot of word twisting. And the other thing is that they stand that way when it comes to judicial matters, because even in every court case you're in, Canada stands up against you. So if you want to find out who your friends or enemies are, you go to the courthouse, and if they're standing up on the other side against you, then you know they don't have any recognition of your Aboriginal treaty rights, and that's where Canada always stands. So the thing is that when you look at those kind of debates that Canada is saying they're trying to involve, it won't work unless Canada changes its fundamental position on recognition of Aboriginal and treaty rights. To sit down and talk to them before they recognize that you have your Aboriginal treaty rights is going to lead to failure, because they're going to constantly use that process as a basis to try and either put a political spin, try to extinguish your title through some form of rewording of the document. You know, the record is our evidence in this respect. So the thing is that those kind of meetings like that, you know, they can spout off about, but until Canada itself changes its policy, that kind of discussion is pretty moot in many respects, I would think, you know.